Episode number 344, Crisis Management and How to Control the Narrative, with Mark Harvard. Let's do it.
This is the definitive podcast for helping you plan, create, and execute dynamic worship experiences at your church. Useful, practical content in the areas of production, worship, communications, first impressions, and more. This is Making Sunday Happen.
Hey guys, this week's episode of our show is brought to you by our friends at Philo Conference. Philo stands for First In, Last Out. I've led workshops for this event, and it is fantastic. It's happening in Chicago May 10th and 11th. I'll tell you more about it in just a minute. On this week's show, I welcome my friend Mark Harvard. Mark is the Communications Director at Clear Branch United Methodist Church in Alabama. He has had a career in radio and broadcast ministries as well as communications. And today we're going to talk all about crisis management and controlling the narrative if your church gets in the news, whether that's for a good reason or negative attention like a scandal or some event happening in your community. We'll talk through how to respond, how to communicate to the press, how it might affect your worship experiences, and more. How do you manage the attention? We'll talk about it today. Hey guys, I am so looking forward to Philo 2022 happening May 10th and 11th in Chicago at Willow Creek Community Church. Up Before the Sun, finishing up after the band has left, that's part of what it means to be Philo, first in, last out. But you're not alone. The Philo community is made up of people just like you. And you're going to see that at the Philo event this year. You're going to hear from great speakers like Ashley Island, Todd Elliott, Clay Scroggins, and more. And our team will be there too. You can register today at philo.org. That's F-I-L-O.org. Philo.org. We'll see you there. Hey guys, today I welcome my buddy Mark Harvard. Mark has a background in radio, as do I. He's also worked in television and communications, currently serves as the Minister of Communications and Online Campus, a very esteemed title, at Clear Branch United Methodist Church in Alabama. Mark, welcome, buddy. I've tried to set you up really well.
It's very impressive. I'd like to meet this guy you're talking about.
The multi-talented, amazing Mark Harmer.
He sounds amazing.
Well, I try to make you sound a lot very good. I was going to say better than you are, but that is not true because you're off the charts. So,
well, I appreciate and thank you for acknowledging that. I appreciate that. Nice. Yeah, I'm thrilled to be here. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you, buddy. Well, also, I want people to know that you do a lot of voiceover work for our team at 1230. Just an amazing addition to our team, and have really been adding a lot to our media content. So, how do you like? We launched a kids brand, and so we do a lot of games and mini movies and stuff like that. So you voiced a lot of those things, and so kind of had to reach into pirate voice and all kinds of stuff, huh?
Yeah, I did. I did not know I had a pirate voice in my repertoire.
Yeah,
but I've done a few projects now with that old pirate voice. I actually did one. I was getting over the flu, and I had an appointment. I had you had a script came to me and said, "Hey, can you do this?" And I could not have done a normal voice script, but because of how badly my voice had gone, the pirate voice was perfect.
Nice.
So nice. It worked out really, really well. But yeah, I'm really enjoying it. Some real creative stuff. And I get to, stretch my acting chops a little bit. And it's a lot of fun. It's good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, man. We have a blast. So I appreciate all your work, man. You do such a great job. Well, as we get rolling, tell us, I mentioned a little bit, but tell us a little bit about your background. You have some, obviously, a career in radio, TV, communications, kind of a span of all three of those fields. Tell me a little bit about some of your experience.
Well, when I was, in high school, I took a weekend job every Sunday afternoon at a local radio station in Sylacauga, Alabama, which is a wee small little town, little 5,000 watt AM station, oldies. They hired me to come push buttons during Atlanta Braves games. And this was not the run for the World Series Braves. This was like, you know, a minor league baseball team with a big stadium Braves.
What year was this, would this be?
It was right before the run. Okay. That big 92, 93 run.
Man, I have to say, I was huge into baseball at this time. If you start knocking the early 90s Braves, we're going to have a problem here because.
Oh, no, I enjoyed it.
I'm just kidding.
I got to hang out and listen to games all day and get paid for it because, I mean, all I had to do was listen for every other commercial break. I had to push a button and play the local commercials. And then over time, it just, you know, the season ended. They had to do something with that time. So, hey, Mark, play some records. And I spent most of my most of college and most of my adult life actually bouncing back and forth between ministry and radio. I've done all kinds of formats. I've been, you know, country, oldies, rock, top 40. I've done talk radio and I've done Christian radio, which is what I was doing up until I came here to Clear Branch about 3.5 years ago. Okay. I was doing Christian radio here in the Birmingham area. I bounced back and forth between ministry and radio. And it was like the whole time, you know, the whole iron sharpens iron thing. It was kind of like God was training me and prepping me and molding me to do what I needed to do here. And now I'm doing communications here at Clear Branch. I'm overseeing a lot of the online campus that we've launched here. I'm doing midweek devotions, all the social media, all of the overseeing the live stream and all that stuff. So and also doing a lot of the marketing and the media relations as well.
So that's what I want to dive into today is how do we get attention in our community? Good attention. And then how do we deal with bad attention? How do we deal with the scandal or the big event that happens that our church is right in the middle of that we have to talk to the press or deal with the press? And so how do pastors handle this? How do communications guys handle this? How do you do the PR and crisis management, that sort of thing? So you've had some experience in this area. Why don't you walk us through a little bit just so people kind of know where you're coming from on this? You guys had an event happen recently at your church. Was it recent or a couple years ago? You had a funeral that you had to do at your church.
Yeah. Where
a girl passed away in your community. Why don't you give us set that up for us?
Yeah, that was a couple of years ago, but it was a horrible situation. A girl passed away, and it was one of those things where she had been missing for a while, and the community had kind of latched on to this story. And we had people looking for her, and there were prayer vigils, and we had a prayer vigil here at Clear Branch for it. And unfortunately, they found her body, and she had passed. And we had the funeral here as well, but because the community had latched on to this story so much, we had reporters showing up and we had talked amongst the staff about, okay, what happens here? Any statements had to come from one person, which is what you should always do. I mean, you have one person that's involved with talking to the media, because that way, you know, different people see different things different ways. You want to have one united message going out. And so in this case, it was our senior pastor was the contact person for this. Any statements came from our senior pastor.
Yeah. So I know that in this situation, you had to deal with a lot of the press. So let's back up a second and deal with the topic of how to get good attention. And then I want to dive into more of that story and then how to deal with a situation like that or even a scandal at your church. Okay. So let's start with how to get good attention. So why, let me ask you it this way. Why is it important for your church to have good attention or a good relationship in your community with the local news, the local press?
Well, your church should always be striving to be a part of the community. That's what we're called to do. I mean, that's part of what we're doing here and reaching people that maybe haven't been reached yet. And the way you do that is by being out there in the public. Local media can help out a lot with that. One of the ways that you can do that is by giving them content. So many of our newsrooms, be it TV, radio, print, or in this case, online newspapers and online news groups, they've got such quick turnaround times, and they've got a quota of stories they have to have before the end of that day. And so one way that you can help out with that and get some good grace is by sending them a press release. When you've got a big event going on at your church, every year we do an outdoor worship event here at Clear Branch. We've been doing this for a few years. Every year you send out a press release about it. It's the who, what, when, where, and why of it. A little bit of a history of the event. If they need more information, they're going to ask you for it. But this puts it on the radar. And what I do is I send it out maybe a month out, and then I send it out again the week of. Because if you send out a month out, they can have all the great intentions of the world. But, if a bigger story breaks that morning, well, then the outdoor worship thing at the local church is probably getting pushed. But what this does is it gets you in the back of their mind, and then it brings it back up again. So they go, oh yeah, that's right. That thing's this weekend. We should send somebody out to that. And, we've had reporters that have shown up to talk to people, get some footage, and they'll give you a quick hit, a news hit, if you will. It's kind of the inside lingo for what that's what they call it, they call it in the biz. They do a quick news hit from there, a quick interview, that sort of thing. And it just shows a vibrancy. It shows that things are going on at the church. It's not a stale building. It's not a stale thing that they're not, people just show up on Sunday morning and then they leave and they feel good about themselves the rest of the week. There's actually things going on. When you have big things where your church is doing things in the community, you always do something like that. You always let the TV station, let the radio station know about it. Let the print media folks in the area know about it. Half of them won't, you'll never hear anything back. But the half that you will, you're building that relationship. And so much of this is an earned credibility thing. If you come out swinging and you finally get them out to your event and then the event's kind of a dud, then they're probably not going to come back the next time. But over and over again, if you prime them to thinking, oh, it's that church. Oh yeah, their stuff's always good. We should send somebody out there. It becomes a knee jerk thing. Also, right. you get more and more of a relationship with these reporters, and to where they know to ask for you. They know you have that inside track. It's kind of a who you know sort of thing.
Yeah. I like the fact that you're really giving them content. And I think there's a misconception there in the news world of, well, either it's a celebrity situation where we think that they have all the stories that they need or whatever. But the truth of the matter is, the reality is, the timelines are so short. Like you mentioned, it's maybe just brain wise, there's not, I got to come up with this many stories every single day. Sure. And so it's a help to them to give them content, give them stories to cover, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So many of them have a 3 or 4 story a day quota. That doesn't give a whole lot of time to do investigative reporting. It just doesn't. Right. So there's always like one story that's their primary for the day, but they have to fill these other slots. And so that's where it comes in. If they can get that, it's just popping up in their email box of, this will work. I'll take it. It helps them. It helps you. It's a win-win for both sides.
So let me ask an overarching question here. The name of our podcast is Making Sunday Happen. So we help churches with their worship experiences online and in person. What does this have to do with making Sunday happen? What is making sure that you have getting good attention, handling bad attention? How does that affect Sunday or the worship experience?
It affects that worship experience in the fact that it shows people that there is something more to your church. It shows that your church isn't just a standalone building on a Sunday morning. There's an involvement in the community. There's an investment in the community. And it also shows that, it gives people a better taste of what your church is all about. I mean, if your church is a very missions influenced church, and your church is all about all in on missions, that's where your church's heart is. That will show in the events that you're doing in the community. That'll show in what your public face is going to end up being. And so if someone's looking for something like that, they want to do something that matters to people, then they'll come worship at your church for that reason.
Right. You mentioned press release earlier. Give me some tips here. Why write a, what if I'm clueless? Like, okay, sure, that's great. How do I write a press release and why is it important?
Well, there are 1,000 templates out there. If you go to that Google thing and type in press release template, thousands of examples come up. But I've found that mainly just put in the subject line, press release, colon, and then the headline, the suggested headline. They're probably going to change it, but it gives kind of a taste of what it's all about. Leave your church name in there and what the event is. Then you write, you know, to who it is, who you've emailed, and you can find all these email addresses on their websites. If it's not a certain reporter's email address, it's the newsroom. Usually it starts with like news tips or tips at whatever TV station it is. You can find all that out there on their websites. But you go through, you type to, from, and then a quick maybe paragraph, maybe two, description of what it is. These are not lengthy paragraphs. You're not writing a theme in high school. You're writing something that can be in and out. Remember, they're probably going to, at the most, give your, if you make it on there, you're going to get maybe 30 seconds. So it's not going to go into a whole lot of detail, a quick history of what the event is, and then here's the who, what, when, where, and why. If they want more, they'll ask.
Do I need to do that for every event? How do I choose which events and what to write a press release for?
If you're a busy church, you'll go crazy doing it for every event. So how do you judge? Judge on the things that are going to have the widest appeal to the community. Judge the things that are the widest accepting. Like if you can't put something out there, a press release on TV for a small group that's opening up, it stops being a small group if people respond to it that way, you know? Right. And so something that's broad, I would usually send out, look at your church calendar and target maybe one or two a quarter to do. Because otherwise it's just you're spamming people at that, anything right, more than that.
And they're going to turn you off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So we're talking, I want to put this in context here. We're talking local TV, local mm-hmm. radio,
yep,
newspaper, if it still exists, bloggers.
Or their website counterpart.
Right. Right. An online news source, which do exist. I don't want people to think that this is old traditional, like this is just not, it doesn't apply. It really does. I mean, you look at, anywhere from, New York Times to Daily Wire to, they're an online news source. And so news hasn't gone away. They might deliver it a different way. So don't think this is too traditional. How can your church be a good go-to resource? Flip that on us. And you kind of mentioned this a little bit, that they will now come to you. If you go to them once a quarter, you are now in a situation where you have a relationship with reporters that are now coming to you, mm-hmm. for a story possibly. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's an ever, rotating wheel of reporters. Usually it's the reporters that are going to be new to the market, the people that they want to get out of the right. studio and they want to send out, it's the newbies that don't get to sit behind the anchor desk,
right?
The people that have to go out and stand in the snowstorm and do all this other stuff. Yep. So yep. those people will be at your station for, in Birmingham, it seems to be like maybe 7 to 8 months or so. And then they move on to like a bigger role at a different station, whatever. But, yeah, you cultivate a relationship with those folks, and then you can, drop their name later on of, oh yeah, I used right. to deal with Samantha when she was there. Oh, okay.
Right.
That sort
right.
of thing.
Right.
But yeah, they'll come to you if the news wheel allows it. Now, you have to keep in mind that if somebody doesn't show up at your event, it's not a personal thing.
Right.
Yeah, look at what the other lead stories for that day were. If there's a giant scandal at City Hall, if there's a giant thing happening that day, chances are they're going all full court coverage on that.
Right.
And the church story about the bake sale is going to get dumped.
Right.
Unfortunately.
Right.
But as long as you're putting out something that's unique, something that's engaging, and something that the community can latch on to, that kind of helps your chances of getting that exposure.
Right. All right. So let's shift gears to how to deal with times when you don't want to get attention, whether this be scandal, another crisis. So set us up here. I know that, you've been in a couple of situations, like we mentioned earlier, where you've had to deal with local and national media attention. So let's dive back into that. When dealing with a crisis, and you mentioned unified front, how do we talk to the press? So give me more on that. What are the best ways to respond to the press?
Yes. Unified front, one person speaking. That's the first and foremost ultimate rule that I would give you. One person speaking to the press. If you watch, the big corporations that speak to the press when there's been a giant tragedy or something like that, it's always one person. There's like one face that talks to the press. Whether that's your senior pastor, whether that's your communications person, one person, I guess, per event. I like to keep it above, just across the board, but one person that's speaking to the press. Stories stay straight. Details stay straight. And the press is able to have that one person to go to. And you let them know that. You let them know that if you're not that person and someone approaches you, hey, we're directing all comments to our senior pastor. His name is Dave and he's right over there. One person speaking to the press. Also, you have to have a clear and concise set of rules for press when they're on your church campus. We don't allow press in this area. We do allow press in that area. So you may choose to say that the press is not allowed in your sanctuary. You may choose to say that they're allowed in your sanctuary as long as they're quiet and they stay in this section that's roped off over here. With that funeral we talked about before, we did that for both the prayer vigil and for the memorial service, because they a lot of the TV stations in town live streamed it, both of those events. And so we said, okay, you're fine. We've got a booth back here in the back. You're allowed to come in and do that. You're also not allowed to harass family or church members or people that are attending inside the building. And, we let the family go out the side door, so they got to skip a little bit of that, too. But we didn't want people to come walking out of this emotional experience and immediately get a camera in their face. So we said, OK, you can interview outside the building, but as long as they're inside, that's off limits. And most were respectful. I had a couple of national folks that we had to have some words with, and they're used to it. Some reporters just come from that thought process of I'm going to push to get the exclusive. I don't care if I have to break rules. We'll see how serious they are. And you put your foot down, you threaten to throw them out if you have to. And a lot of times they'll back down and they'll fall in line.
How do we be transparent without giving too much away, without being too transparent?
You can be honest, but at the same time, you can just... You have to be sensitive to those that are involved. And that's something that the press will have to respect. We're not able to give out a lot of information because an investigation is still going on. But most of all, you just try to be as truthful as you can, as forthcoming as you can, but know that there's an appropriateness there. We're not going to give names of victims if they're underage. We're not going to give, and family hasn't been responded. Mainly as a church, you're not going to be put in that position. That's more of a police sort of mode that you're going to have to go to. I'll offer up prayer for those involved, offer up accommodations for those that need it. But for the most part, you're not going to be a source of leaking confidential information.
How beneficial is it for the person who is talking to the press to have experience doing that?
Very much so, because as you gain that experience, you learn to pick your words more wisely. If someone doesn't have a lot of experience in front of the press, and I understand you've got to get experience to get, to have experience. So, maybe try someone out with something that's a little lower, visibility and let them build up. But when you've got someone out front, especially in a major crisis or a major, scandal or, something like that, you don't want somebody that's going to get nervous and just start running off at the mouth.
Right.
You want somebody that's going to pick their words, be concise, and really just get to the point.
You dove into this some, but what happens when reporters show up at your door? And so you mentioned this, that really the rule is either no comment, walk inside the building, or all comments that we are making goes through this person. And here it is. What if they show up knocking? Hey, I'm here. How do you respond to that? If you open the door and they're there, take me forward from there.
And that's happened a few times with us, mainly around that one instance with the young lady who passed. We had some reporters that showed up. We knew that we were having the memorial service, or we knew we were having the night of prayer for her, and they would show up like 3 hours before. And, you know, we'd let them, yeah, okay, you can shoot in the parking lot. We're not letting anybody in until this time. Give them a defined set of rules. Most of the reporters there are going to follow those rules. You may have the one or two renegades that you have to kind of get in line, but for the most part, just have a clear and concise, and it helps to have that done beforehand. If you know something is coming up, part of the damage control of a scandal happening that's being broken, have those rules in mind. So that way no one has to pivot and kind of make things up as they go. That way shows them where those lanes are. They can stay within those lanes, and then consequences can happen if they don't.
What about an interview situation? Hey, not, can I interview you real quick about this story? Do you jump in right there, walk out the door and do it?
You refer to them to whoever is your chosen mouthpiece. I tend to not like to say no comment, because I know how frustrating that is. And also know that if you just tell them no comment, they're just going to try to find someone else and harass other people.
Right.
If you tell them where to go, they're going to go to that person.
Right.
And usually when we've had to do, you know, media stuff like that, it's really not a big complicated thing. If we send it to our senior pastor or that sort of thing, he'll go ahead and just and give the comment and not be
a, how important is it to schedule an appointment? Like if I'm the senior pastor and I need to, would it be wise for me to jump out there and just start talking, or would it be a more wise decision to set up an appointment? Hey, you can come and you can interview me at this time, and that way I can sit down and maybe I can think through my words a little bit more, that sort of thing.
Because outside of this one event or this one deal that you're dealing with, pastor still has a church to pastor as well. And so they're going to have these other things that they already had on their books, this counseling appointment, this marriage consultation, this sort of thing. So, yeah, making those appointments and having someone that can keep that calendar and try to work in as much as you can, but at the same time, keep it sacred. That's a huge deal. Remember, you've got in an instance like this, you've got what they want. They're not doing you the favor.
Right. You had a situation, you mentioned it a little bit, where in this funeral situation, you had a guy try to push that boundary, cross the line and get more of an exclusive shot or something, right? Tell me about that story and how you dealt with it.
Yeah, I was actually standing in our media booth, and one of our security guys comes up to me and says, Mark, we got a guy that has a reporter that's left the area that we had set aside for them. And I look over and it's a camera guy, and he's from a national news organization. And he's gone around to the side of our sanctuary, and he's trying to get face shots is what he's trying to do. But he was very obvious, and he was not stealthful at all. And it was, you know, kind of just my overarching rule in photography and videography in churches is to capture the moment, but not at the expense of the moment. He was using the moment's expense. And so he was very distracting. And so I started walking toward him, and he saw me coming toward him, and he backed back behind the line we had set aside and all that. And I came up to him and said, dude, you know, we need you to stay back here. He goes, I know. And he blamed his reporter that was with him. He pushed me and I got to do what he says and all that sort of thing. So I went and talked to his reporter, and they promised to stay cool and all that. And I was nice about it. I was not a jerk about it at all. But I told him, I said, we have these rules are in place for a reason. If you can't follow them, then we will have to ask you to leave. And they calmed down at that point.
how do you stop them if they're planning to make a scene? Is there any other, I guess, ways that you can calm them down from making a scene or being distracting? You mentioned the rules earlier. You might go through that. Sending a PDF out or something ahead of time to the.
Well, a lot of times you don't know who's going to be there. And so, you mean, you can send that out, but for the most part, we just have them for them. Have sheets of paper, usually in our visitor center, where we can easily just grab them and say, okay, here's our standards for what we expect you guys when you're here. Or else I'll send it to them as I'm verbally giving them those instructions. For speaking on camera, we do our preacher, but for the most part, when press are on the campus, they come, I'm kind of their wrangler. So I'm usually try to stay on top of it like that.
What if they want to feed from the audio board? How do you handle that?
In the past, we have not supplied that, but we've also just redone all of our audio in the sanctuary that allows for that. So it's, you know, there's a finite number of resources there, and, you know, first come, first serve. And unfortunately, I mean, if you're the last person there, you're probably not going to get that best camera placement because other people have gotten there. You may not get that audio board feed. When this crisis went down, we didn't have that ability. So it's just, point a directional mic at the speaker that's right above you. And, you know, it was what it was.
Right.
If it's something we would offer if we have it, we have that capability.
All right. Last question for you. Why do we need to care about the public perception of our church? Why does it matter?
Because we've seen just over the years, if public perception of your church is in a negative way, people aren't going to come and visit. People aren't going to come to be a part of your church. And it's not just, I understand it's not just about numbers, but if someone isn't accepting of that message through being in person, through being online, because of some negative taste they have in their mouth, well, then that's going to hamper them hearing the word, and that's bad.
Yeah. Yeah. I think too, it also shows an example of how we as believers can handle the good times and the rough times. How do we handle a scandal? Are we jerks to the camera guy? Or are we orderly and that, how do we handle those situations? Anything else? Go ahead.
Yeah, I was saying, I mean, through all this, I mean, we're showing the love of Christ through all of our actions, through all of this. And so we're treating people the way we would want to be treated. We know that they've got a job to do, and we want to help them out with that as much as we can, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. Right. So it's, you know, you work with each other as best you can. It's a part and treat it as a partnership. And, you know, unless you're not allowed to. And in that case, you have to kind of. You'd be a little more firm, but at the same point, you're never going to want to create an ugly scene or anything like that. Keep it in check. It's okay. This too shall pass.
Right. Well, awesome, man. Thank you for this, and appreciate your experience in this area. And I think you've wrangled a few reporters in your past. And so thank you for sharing that with us, man. Really appreciate your time. Glad to have you on, buddy. You're a great friend, and I appreciate all you do.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. It's been fun.
Hey guys, Grant Murphy here from the 1230 team. For years, we've worked with some of the largest kids ministries in the country. Folks like Awana, Answers in Genesis, Seeds Family Worship, Yancey, Doorpost Songs, Go Curriculum, Grow Kids, Worship Team Kids, and more. We've taken our experience working with these ministries and launched an entire kids brand called 1230 Kids. With this brand, we have launched an entire ready-made media library completely dedicated to children's pastors and leaders. In the library, we're producing hundreds of mini movies, countdowns, games, kids series boxes, packs, social media content, and much, much more. If you're a ministry that serves lots of churches yourself, we offer custom media services to bring your projects to life and can produce about any graphics or video need you may have. We are also committed to bringing you free and affordable training to help you enhance your kids' worship experiences with our Kidmin blog, books, and other resources that are bringing you knowledge and ideas for leading experts, church staff, and volunteers in the trenches of kids ministry. Tell your kids' leaders about us today. Tell them to go to 1230kids.com. That's 1230kids.com.
The show notes for this episode are available now at makingsundayhappen.com.
Hey guys, if you like the content on our podcast, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Just search 1230 Media or Making Sunday Happen to find us on YouTube. Next week, I will welcome Trey Van Camp. Trey is a pastor, a church planner, and a YouTuber. I'm talking with Trey about how to create killer digital content, whether that is clipping up your content from your Sunday worship experience, creating fresh content for YouTube, and more. That's next week. We'll go out there and create some incredible worship experiences this weekend. I'll catch you next week.
Making Sunday Happen is a production of the Ministry of 1230 Media. For show notes, archive episodes, and more free resources for your church, visit makingsundayhappen.com.